Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
And we are live, episode number 82 of the Better on Draft podcast. What episode is this?
The Aubrey Matthews episode.
The Aubrey Matthews?
What?
Like, I don't even know who Aubrey Matthews is.
He was a line receiver in like the early to mid 90s.
I don't even.
How do you even pull that out?
That is so obscure.
I have no idea. It just came right to my head. I have no idea.
Wow.
I wonder how much like actual knowledge we could fit into your head if we took out all the sports knowledge that you had.
You could have lied to me. You could have been like, that was Jimmy Linebacker.
No. I think someone can check that. Or I think it was also Jermaine Crowell was number 82, too.
I don't know. I just rely on you for it. So, again, you could just lie about it.
Random lion number trivia.
Random lion number
Seriously.
Trivia. Seriously. Yeah. So, Better on Draft episode 82. Thank you for joining us. My name is Ken. We have a very light house today and a lot of beer to drink today. So we're going to be drinking and drinking hard, drinking fast. It is Cinco de Mayo, though. It is 5-5. Revenge of the Fifth?
Revenge of the Fifth. That is
Star Wars things?
Yeah, that's another Star Wars reference. I didn't come up with it.
I know.
I read it on Facebook. And of course, everything on Facebook's true.
Of course,
Rob, what are you drinking over there?
I'm kind of leery now about this being, you know, drinking heavy and hard today because we kind of started a 10-day smoothie cleanse at the house.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We're on day 5, and this is
it's gonna flush your system for sure.
How's it feel?
All these toxins.
I feel like pink. That's what I feel like.
I feel like pink. I'm not going to even go further into that. So what are you drinking?
Like a Teletubby?
I have no fucking clue how I feel right now because there's no word for this.
So you've been sipping on juice for a week, basically?
We've just been making smoothies with, you know, kale and spinach and frozen fruit.
All right, blink three times if this is spousal abuse.
That's one. That's two.
It is not spousal abuse. It is. I'm a willing participant, and in being in support.
On a level between 0 and 100, how willing were you?
In the beginning, I would say I was probably about 95.
95.
And you're now where?
Where are we day 5?
I'd say day 5, I'm probably close to 6.
Do you just want like a steak or something right now?
Could you juice a steak?
The smell of food, it just kills me right now.
How long are you going on this?
It is
10 days.
10 days.
So you're halfway through.
So we're halfway through. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get through the weekend. I honestly have no idea.
How are you going to do Sunday when we're giving away free beer? Well, we're buying it and giving it away.
I don't know. I'm just going to be sitting there with this big-ass Rubbermaid container.
You know, I was watching Impractical Jokers last night, and he smoothied a hot dog, so maybe as long as it's in liquid form, we can give it to him, right?
I was going
to
say, what are the rules for the smoothie diet? Like, does it just have to be in liquid form?
Oh, no. There are recipes you have to follow.
Oh.
So you have to just basically those 10 days, you have to stick to. You basically make one smoothie, puts out about 48 ounces, and you sit there and you just drink 16 ounces, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Jesus.
So what other – obviously you're drinking beer right now. What other drinks can you have on this liquid-only diet?
Water and detox tea.
Detox tea.
That's it.
What's the difference between like tox tea and detox tea?
I think it's the leaves that they use for the tea that it makes it a detox tea. It's not like a toxic tea is the opposite. It's just a tea that's not detox.
Sounds good.
I was going to say, that sounds like a good brew name.
Sounds like a kombucha recipe that went astray.
Right?
I was going to say, where's Unity Vibration when you need that? Matt, what's going on?
Hi, Ken.
How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm well.
I'm celebrating my day of cultural appropriation with this big bottle of Corona.
That's probably
after just finishing a Taco Bell big box.
Yeah, after I shoved a big box of Taco Bell in my body.
You know what? That's
so I might have to sit out segment two.
You know, for living in such a very large, being in Metro Detroit, we have such a large Mexican community around us. It's hard to like eat Taco Bell on Cinco de Mayo, but I would assume every place is packed right now.
You know, I think it was just one of those things where I hadn't eaten today, and it was quick and fast, and I didn't want to spend $8 at the Subway, where it used to be like $5 for the same thing.
Why would you go there for Subway?
I wouldn't go to...
There's a Subway down the road.
There's a Subway, like, almost next door.
Okay, I thought you were talking about, like, tacos for Subway.
Oh.
No. I would go to Subway for these tacos.
No, I guess... Have you ever had pizza Subway? Subway pizza?
No.
Yes, I have.
I love Subway pizza.
I have respect for myself. It's so disappointing. To me, it is... Exactly. It is so disappointing.
I once slutted myself out for the 7-Eleven breakfast pizza, which is eggs on bread and then covered in sausage gravy.
Actually, sounds really
good. Yeah,
it
doesn't sound too bad.
It was bad until you said sausage gravy, and now you have my attention.
And it depends. See, because that's the thing is that I make a breakfast pizza. I don't use sausage gravy, but dude.
Whatever you have, not a sausage pizza a breakfast pizza without sausage gravy. Speedway has a breakfast pizza now, and that's annoying because I really want a pepperoni slice at 7 in the morning.
Oh, there's nothing worse. I don't know what it is, but anytime I consume pepperoni, I just get instant heartburn.
Really?
So I don't even mess with pepperoni if I can't anymore.
Goodness, I love pepperoni.
Man, I like for a good like when I was doing so much driving, and I still do. I would always stop at the Speedway over by my place, or there's like I know where every Speedway is in the state of Michigan that are off freeways from the amount of driving that
I
do.
Not sure I would tell people that.
Well, when you drive, you know, at one point I put on I think 45,000 miles in a year. Yep. On my car, and most of it's Michigan. Like, that doesn't include any of the miles I drove when I flew out somewhere and then drove. Like, there are times where I flew out to Atlanta and had to drive up to Tennessee. So, these types of things, like, I just know so much about where these speedways are. So, but that's the thing, though. Here's the trick. So, for Speedway Rewards, you buy a blue Speedway card with your rewards card, and then you use your rewards card to redeem the blue Speedway card points. And you, like, double your points for everything.
So you never buy directly from Speedway. You buy their cards.
And then I use their cards. And you get not only the points for buying the card, but the points for spending on the card.
That seems way too complicated. Like, I had the same issue with Southwest when I flew down. Like, I bought Southwest points on my Southwest card to get extra points to – it was just like – lady, you're on the phone with me. Just do what you have to do and tell me what I owe you.
Yeah, I know. I used to have the Chase Southwest card, and that was a great card. I remember you got, quote-unquote, two free flights, but you got based on points. So I think I turned it into, like, four free round-trip flights just because of the flights. Like, I took a flight from Detroit to Dallas, and it was free, but I had to have two layovers. But I'm like, it's free, and checked bags are free. And their direct layovers, no plane change. So I literally just sat in my seat for an extra hour and a half of... And it was like in a row, too, because I went Detroit, Chicago, Little Rock, Dallas.
Oh, Little Rock. God, Arkansas. Mm. That state just bothers me.
I was just in Arkansas.
I'm sorry.
Was it the spelling that bothers you and the pronunciation? Or
it's,
like...
I think it's the people of, but the people of that I see on
that's
TV.
Fair.
You know,
that's
I think
fair.
I think it's beginning to rival Ohio.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with Ohio.
There's a lot of things wrong.
There's
except
about
the snow
like 18
and the rain.
Million things wrong with Ohio, and they're all residents of the state.
They have so many breweries now.
They do. They do. So we do have a guest in studio today.
You know, I've seen a monkey pee in its mouth. I don't consider that a brewery.
Wow. Ooh. Shots fired. Good thing our Toledo Beer Fest, our Toledo beer friends are going to be coming up in a few weeks.
Oh, are the Brewer Review Crew guys?
The Brewer Review Crew is coming back out.
Do we have to go to see them ever?
They don't have a studio. They just go to the Black Cloister in Toledo. So I guess we could technically join them one day.
For the record, I've never been to a brewery in Ohio. So
I've been to plenty. So we do have a guest. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Evan Faringa from Baffin. I'm one of the owners, and I make all the beer with my other brewer. But he's not here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome back,
I should say.
Ooh. So you guys are the winner of the Stout 16 from Better on Draft, our first ever bracket challenge.
Woo.
And it looks like we need to get you another marker to rewrite champion on that golden growler.
Oh.
It's all right. I actually have a marker in my
car.
Honestly,
I love I love it.
So it's actually your, is it their growler that we use?
No, I think you gave me this growler, so I don't know whose growler it was.
Oh, you just threw the sticker on there. That's fine by me.
Yeah, no, so I went to their brewery and paid $10 for the sticker, which I'm not going to invoice you for.
I don't know why Mike just didn't give you one.
That's, you know, kinda... I think he just came in and was drinking your Young Dumb and full of rum and thought, I'll buy this $10 sticker instead of the $1 sticker that I actually stole from you at the Warren Beer Fest this week.
That's fine.
So I don't know, but I present to you our new traveling trophy, the Better on Draft Golden Growler.
Oh, my gosh. It feels so good in my hands.
So we're going to be celebrating your win this Sunday, May 7th, over at Baffin. At is it Baffin or Baffin?
Baffin.
God damn, I say it wrong all the time.
It's fine. I mean, it's whatever.
As long as everybody gets there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you type it in the same. Google brings it up the same way.
Yeah.
Well, don't put an O in there like Ken does. Put an A in there like they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's close to Gross Point. There's a Baffin.
Yeah, what's a balk? B-A-L-K. Like Baffin.
It's not Birmingham.
Oh, tomorrow we're going to Baffin.
There, perfect.
See, so you nailed it.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you grow up in Troy.
You just have to have old money from the 20s.
Right. Are you going to be serving Pimento cheese sandwiches?
Oh, my. Only the finest of salamis.
The charcuterie. Charcuterie.
No, we're super excited. It's kind of awesome. So we're super excited about Sunday.
So we're going to be giving away a half barrel of beer. We're just going to tap it and until it runs out.
Absolutely.
Simple, easy enough. You show up and you drink beer.
I stocked up on it, so we're not out of it.
I heard you guys ran out of it.
We're always out of it. Jesus, it takes a long time to make.
It was. I saw that. Like, we're out of the mango. I'm like, oh no, oh no.
No, Mike was freaking out. Our pub manager was freaking out. I'm like, no, dude, it's coming back Tuesday. Don't worry. I'll have a whole bunch of it.
You're gonna have to start making more of it. Now.
I can't make any more than I already do. It's kind of crazy.
Well, how long does it take to make it?
It takes 2.5-3 weeks to make it because of the second fruit fermentation of the mango. So it just takes an extra week.
Now, are you getting fresh mango, or are you getting – I know we had Frank – was it Farmington that said they're literally going to Kroger and getting cans of blood orange juice?
Yeah. Yes.
So the first batch we ever made, we peeled 50 pounds of mango, and that was probably the worst.
Geez.
It was the worst experience of my life. So we still do that with all the other fruit, though, like peaches and stuff like that. But no, the mango we bought – we've done everything from puree. I won't do concentrates or juice. I won't do any of that. But we tried everything from all over the world, different mangoes. Our favorite one, aside from fresh from the store, which I won't do, is the Dole mango from Mexico. We get them cubed. I've tried them from Chile, like Venezuela. I've got Philippines, like India, everywhere. And my favorite one are the ones from Mexico. So happy Cinco de Mayo.
So it's a Mexican mango ale.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Yeah, technically.
Technically,
yes.
There you go. So that's how you can, like, you know, well, if you had it in, do you have it on tap today?
Yes, I do.
Okay, there you go. You should just change it to Mexican mango. When someone yells at you, be like, the mangoes are from Mexico.
Right.
There you go.
That's racist.
I know, I really wanted to get the tequila ones, but the barrels took a long time to get there. So the tequila one's still going strong.
So do they come cubed then, or do you still have to, so you're not shaving them anymore?
No, they come cubed, already frozen, put them in the freezer, just leave them there until we're ready, and then we just throw them in.
Yeah, how long did it take you to peel 50 pounds of mangoes?
I think it took us 4 hours.
Wow. How many people were there?
Like two.
Okay, so 8 man hours to peel. That's actually a pretty decent rate for...
Well, you do the pint glass trick.
I don't know there was a pint glass.
What's the pint glass trick?
It's revolutionary. So you take a pint. So first you take the mango and you cut it along the long side. There's like a short side and a long side.
Oh, yeah.
You cut it along the long side. You put one of the edges that you cut on a pint glass, and you push, the skin comes
off. Oh, the skin comes right off.
It's amazing. So that helped. We learned that about halfway through. We started Googling because we were so angry.
I'm just thinking myself there with a potato peeler.
No, you can't. Because the skin is so dang soft that, like, once it that
for an old, potato peeler like, hits 40s
it,
submarine.
it'll like cut a little shaving off of it, mm-hmm. and then it's just nothing but slow going.
Well, what about that? I remember making apple pies as a Boy Scout, and you get that old apple pie maker, old apple pie apple shaver, where you would put the apple on a spigot, and then you would rotate the razor blade around it,
like a pencil sharpener.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
They have electric ones of those.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm a child of the 90s, so that
No, I'm just saying. They have
I was going to say, I'm a child of the 90s, and my parents had one all the time. So like,
an electric one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
We would use it for potatoes. Like, that's how we would peel potatoes at home.
Manually, like,
oh, no.
Like a submarine captain.
I never had to do that until I moved out, and I'm like, what is this archaic item? I have to do this by hand?
I would have
After
literally,
two, I'm like, screw it, we're making baked potatoes.
I literally had, like, knuckles to the bone with some of my thumbs just hacking these potato peelers away.
Jesus. My mom and I are still old school. We still do it with a knife.
What?
That's it.
A knife?
Yeah.
You lose so much potato that way, though. Unless you're, I mean, you're probably better than me.
I mean, we do a pretty decent job of it.
I would have given up and just cubed it.
I wish.
Like, now they're roasted.
So now that mango, is that obviously your number one?
Yeah, it's been number one since the beginning.
Do you have any plans to put a variant on it or to change it around at all?
Yeah, so we did the mango en fuego. That one was the habanero mango, and then we're doing the tequila barrel age one right now, and that tastes like a margarita. At least it did when we put a shot of vodka in it about a year ago. And that's where we came up with it during our holiday party. And so we have it in tequila barrels, and hopefully it tastes like a margarita, and that's kind of what we're going
for. How long are you keeping it in the tequila barrels?
We're only going to do like a month or two. We did the Young Dumb full of rum for 1 month, 30 days exactly. We just wanted to be kissed by the rum. We don't want so much oak in the kind of in the mango, so we're just kind of do it for a month. We're going to test it. If we need another one, we'll do that.
What about like pineapples or any other fruits that you would play with cherry juice? Or?
Yeah, so we do every Michigan harvest of fruit. We do a beer based off of the harvest. We actually drive to the farm. We pick up like 200 to 500 pounds of the fruit, drive it back, and make a beer with it. We do like a blueberry Berliner Weiss. We do the cherry Underwood is our is our tart cherry saison. Let's see, we do
scandalous.
DePeach Mode is
DePeach Mode.
That's one of our. So we do all the Michigan harvest fruit.
Do you have an apple?
We do. That was I think that was Fiona apples.
Mm.
That was that.
You're so criminal.
Wow.
Sick reference.
Yes.
So is there anything new or anything slightly on your horizon for liquid coming out?
Yeah, we're doing a blood orange Berliner Weiss or Belgian wit beer right now. We just put out the collaboration with Dragomead. That's named Cherry Channel after Larry Channel, rest his soul. Mm. He was my mentor and Spencer's father, Spencer and Wesley. And so we did a Belgian strong dark. It came out 12.5%. We did 140 pounds of sweet cherries and 40 pounds of tart cherries in that. And it's just this wonderful medley of like raisins and plums and dates and then a whole bunch of cherries.
That almost sounds like it'd be like a winter beer with all those plums and kind of those.
I mean, it should be, but we wanted to make it. And it's spring.
Now, at the Beer Fest, you had a grapefruit IPA?
Yep, we have that, the Ruby, 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 Ruby.
Yes, there's almost like no place like home with that beer.
Absolutely.
Is that something new? Because I hadn't seen that before.
We brewed it last year. I don't remember. I think we brewed it in the spring last year, actually. But we brewed it again. We like to constantly switch up our brews. On the horizon, which I'm super excited about, we're brewing a sake. Or sake, as Sean would yell at me for, because he's Japanese, basically.
He
knows everything about it, and he speaks it, and it was his major.
Is that one of your bartenders?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the one that my friend knows really well.
Yeah.
Because
he has a twin, and it freaks everybody out.
Does he really? I know I've met him, obviously, but I've never hung out with him or anything like that, so that's just crazy. But
yeah, so the we're going to brew a sake, actually. Spencer from Dragon Me, we really want to do it. We're going to do it together. Then we're going to try to blend it with the Belgian wit beer. And we're coming up with a couple names. One maybe sake $5.
No,
we'll charge $5 for it.
That's
amazing.
I'm the name around the show, and I think that's the first one I'm gonna have to say no to.
I'm all for it. That's hysterical.
I guess mine. I was going way too old school because thinking sake. For some reason, I was thinking of laughing, and I thought of Richard Nixon going sake to me. So then I thought, sake to me.
Yeah, we could do that.
I'll have something to you.
I thought mine was too.
Oh, I've already got one for him.
I'm listening.
I've got a nice fruit beer, a watermelon beer.
Oh,
and you could call it Water Melonia Trump.
Dude, watermelon.
Can we just dump the last like 120 seconds of the show, please?
Not at all.
Is there a dump button?
Not at all. I do need another beer so you guys can keep talking.
Let's do a lot.
Without the sexual harassment.
But well, yeah.
I really think you should just put a Belgian flag with a big Japanese sun on it.
I don't see why not.
The land of the rising fun.
Ooh, the rising fun.
There we go.
There it is.
No,
that's a stretch.
So, do you brew sake? I thought it was more of a distilled process.
No, so sake is essentially, so it's weird. Via the feds, it is a beer, but, or it's a wine for marketing purposes, but it's a beer for tax and production purposes. But no, it's a wine, essentially, is what it is. It's a rice wine.
So you're going to put it in some sort of barrels then, or are you going to leave it in your fermenter tank?
We're going to – it's a whole process. It's going to take like a week long. It's going to tie everything up, but I really want to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I'm super excited about it.
Well, I mean, that's definitely probably – what are you guys pouring over here?
I don't know.
Everything.
Okay, so Ken, what did you just pour? I mean, this is a
– I poured meeting. Myself Lumber Baron's Shapeshifter Winter Ale. And what do I have over there? I don't even know. It's labeled on there.
This is Northern Oak Brewery's Busty Porter.
There you go. So that's what I brought. I also have a mead, and these are all like going flat. So if we don't finish them tonight,
then I brought
poured.
The mango to prove that we actually have.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Hand that over.
Yeah.
You bring the fresh beer. I bring the beer that we all need to drink, or it's going to get poured. Oh, let's have the fresh beer. I mean, this isn't an IPA, guys.
It's a holiday.
The A is silent in Baffin.
Ah,
no, it's not.
I that's Baffin.
Baffin.
Baffin. Well, that would be a hard A, not a. That's an A you can bounce a quarter off of.
Oh,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, wow.
Do you want to split this, Rob?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead and dump that in there.
To, or,
yeah, you're good.
I don't know what your rules are this week.
He can't split beers, along with eating solid foods, cannot split beers.
Yeah. I'm not sure how repercussions will be when I get home after drinking this stuff. We'll see what happens.
I was going to say, you're going to feel a lot more.
Yeah.
It's like quinoa. Just think of it as fermented quinoa.
You mean quinoa?
Yeah, quinoa.
Quino.
Oh. It just tastes so good when it hits your lips.
I was fine until you started laughing at that.
I want to say, one of the beers that I think, I know it's not underrated at your tap house, but that you make is your Mosaic IPA.
Yeah, I love that one.
I think, when I first visited your place, when you guys first opened, that was the beer that I gravitated towards. And that's still the one that I think is great. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Hey.
So have you guys played around with, where does that sit on your
We're
your
actually
pull
distributing
list?
It. So, okay. Yeah, we distribute right now. We're distributing the Mango and the Mosaic Mo Problems, and then occasionally the Doc. So those are the three that we occasionally get out there.
What, now, are you just in barrels then, on premise, or do you guys?
Yeah, just in barrels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome, Angela. Which microphone are you using so I can turn you on?
Whoa, now.
This is a family show.
No, it's not.
You sure?
After the sake $5 remark?
I think she's probably on five.
Yeah. I think I got
Where's
her up.
Where's the number at?
It's probably off, but you're up. Yeah, I hear you.
You're good.
Hi.
Hello. Hey. Welcome. What'd you bring us?
I've got our peaches and cream Heffy.
Nice.
Oh, know what I mean.
And congratulations over there. 12.
Thank you.
The newest graduate.
I'll drink to that. Like every
great
night
job.
This week.
All right. I'm sorry.
Oh, go on. No.
So, are you guys self-distributing? Did you get a...
We're signed with Petaprin for Macomb County, and then we can self-distribute everywhere else. I don't want to deal with the logistics of
getting out of Macomb.
No. Even in Macomb, like the reason why we signed with a distributor is it's a lot of work to track down kegs and make sure people aren't stealing them and the whole deal. I'm letting the people who do it every single day do that. I don't want to deal with it.
Now, what do your tap handles look like? I've never seen you guys on.
So our tap handles. I think we have a couple different ones. We have a couple standard ones, and then we have one that we made out of the oak staves oak barrels that we use in the pub. But we're getting professional ones done. But it's taken like a year and a half. Yeah, it's a lot of back and forth of artwork.
Is it a puppy dog?
No. No, it is not. It has our logo at the very top, but no, we wanted to stay away from the whole like dog theme.
Okay.
Even though the logo is my dog.
So no short tail?
No. There's several people that made that very apparent that was not going to happen. But yeah, no, we
are those people high price lawyers?
Yes. Much, much higher price than I could ever afford. So, yes.
Goodness.
I would just, yeah, I just, I'm excited. Where, are you, like, locally in St. Clair Shores? Where?
Yeah, so we're all over Macomb County. We're in St. Clair Shores. We're all, really, any, it's really fun to go to random bars. We're at, which I never thought would happen in my dreams, we're in Buffalo Wild Wings, which is one of the places that, wow, was just, yeah, it's just one of the cool places where you're like, oh, shoot, that, like, I made that.
Right.
But actually, the first time I went to a
and
bar.
They still charge you the full price.
Oh, even more. Like, they're like, get out of here, you're pretentious. But the first time I went to a bar, and it was a karaoke bar, and we'd been drinking heavily. But I didn't know that my beer was there, and I got super excited. It was like the first time that I saw my beer out, the bartender, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I made that beer. And she looked at me, she's like, okay, and just walked away. And I was like, well, okay.
It's still it's still $4.50, so right. Why not?
Right. So what'd you sing? You were drunk, you sang.
Yeah. No, I drank. I sang some Bruno Mars. I sang, I don't know, then they gave me some, I think I sang some Lionel Richie. Like, it's just people were giving me things to sing.
Some All Night Long?
Oh, of course.
Or no, he was probably dancing on the ceiling.
I was thinking, say you, say me.
Hello?
How do you guys know so many Lionel Richie songs?
Lionel Richie is actually really good.
Actually, I think my extensive Lionel Richie songs are all due to Family Guy.
mine was from How I Met Your Mother.
Because I just
see him live, though. So that's
mine is because my dad actually had the records.
Of course he would.
Damn right.
So, Matt, tell us about the Big Beer Fest, or the Warren Big Brew Fest.
Yeah, so I got there shortly after, you know, it started, and honestly, all I could smell was wort, like, all the way to 13 Mile. It was just, I could just smell everybody mashing in, and it was, I didn't know if I'd come to, like, a brewer's conference or almost like a baker's event, because you could just smell all the yeast in the air, and definitely walked around the pavilion a lot. It was cold, so people were definitely bundled up and traveling in packs because they were all sharing body heat. But I got the Ruby Grapefruit over there from Baffin. I knew I was going to be driving, so I didn't even mess with the 12.5% because I knew that was going to be a bad idea. I tried the New England IPA over at that Brooks made.
That one was great.
With Dragon Mead, which was really good. And then I just tried a bunch of the homebrews. They had, you know, the Kunin Beer Guild had a bunch of them, I want to say.
How was the system? Like, was it a ticket system or a token system?
So you paid, it was $1 a ticket, and you paid for as many tickets as you wanted, and then you would just, it was one ticket per pour. But that was only for the brewers. Like, if you went to any of the home brews, there was no charge for them. So I think the beer that I liked most there, or two of them, was the New England IPA that, ironically, a fraternity brother made, who was just one of the homebrewers. And then there was this Australian Summer Pale Ale.
Oh, that one was great.
That I saw from the whatever the craft homebrew group was. And I didn't know, it was super, it wasn't effervescent, but I don't want to say it was flat either. And it just had, it was super pale, a little bit of fruity. I don't know if it was maybe kiwi or something. I don't know what made it the Australian Summer. Should really be
so. I'm actually bringing it up right now because somebody commented on our post on the betteronDraft.com website, and it said it was part of the hop experiment from the craft uppercase craft homebrew club, which they did in 24 brewers brewed 24 beers with 24 different hop varieties.
Ooh.
So that one was using Australian summer hops.
Well, there was definitely like a fruit character to that beer, so I don't know.
I love Australian hops, personally. I wish I could get them even more. They're amazing.
I didn't even know. I mean, I would imagine, yes, there's Australian hops, but I guess I didn't know if I've ever had anything. It's like saying, have you ever had milk from the same cow? I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Who says that?
You've never heard that shower thought? I wonder if I've ever had
that in the shower?
No, it's one of those.
It's one of those like deep thoughts.
Yeah, it's one of those. You ever see Jack Haney from SNL?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Deep thoughts.
No deep thoughts.
So it's like one of those shower thoughts. I wonder if I've ever had milk from the same cow twice.
I've never thought that in my entire life.
Now you're going to think it, though.
Of course. The only thing I'm going to think of.
That's one of those things you think about when you're just like in some sort of meeting with somebody and you have absolutely no care what in the world this person is saying. You're just sitting there,
I had milk this morning.
I had milk from the same cow.
This milk tastes. I don't know. It tastes familiar to me.
Tastes familiar.
But I mean,
it's like you start going through things. Like, did I leave the iron on? Did I shut the door?
I don't even have an iron, but did I leave it on?
You know what?
That's
the milk.
Is that milk? That come from the same cow?
Is that Jezebel?
Oh, number 46525. How I've missed you.
Hey, these are a free range cattle. They have names.
Right.
Families.
Exactly.
Like FN424.
It's like California cows or happy cows.
Oh.
Happy cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy steaks.
Oh, the happiest of steaks.
Happy burgers.
But our DOC, the doc, we use Nelson Sauvon, which is a New Zealand hop, and it's super hard to get. And I wish I could get even more, but it tastes like white grapes and white wine. It's fantastic.
Is there a reason why Australian, and I guess even would they be called oceanic hops? Because I think that continent is kind of called Oceania.
Oceania, sure.
Why it's not? It's actually new now.
Oh.
It's new. It's like called like New Zealandia or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so what, going off that basis,
I think so.
Is there
like a dystopian world like of Earth?
It sounds lovely.
Where it's like the United States of Americana.
It's Waterworld 2.
Got those lemon.
Kind of looks like it.
We're in over here in Polandia right now.
So is there a reason the hops are so hard to get from that part of the world?
It's just they don't make a lot. It's fairly new. The last 20 years they've been booming, but. Or at least the craft beer industry has been booming there. But there's not a lot of land to farm it. They're starting to do more and more and more. But, I mean, there are a lot of Australian brewers, and they're eating them all up first, and then the big guys are taking them. But they're just really super expensive and hard to get.
It's probably really expensive to ship those on a boat, too.
Yeah. I think we buy them for, like, $28 a pound, which normally we get it for, like, $11 a pound.
For your standard Mosaic or
Mosaic. Mosaic's up there around, like, $18, but... let's say we're getting like Michigan Centennial or Nugget or Cascade. We're getting those at like $9 to $11 a pound.
So how does the cost of hops go into you figuring whether or not you want to use them or
your beer-wise? Oh, we don't care. Okay. We're the type of brewery where we want to make the best beer we can. And if a hop is more expensive, we make less money on it, whatever. As long as it's great. We'll spend the money on fantastic products so we make the best beer we can.
So if you see something that you've just never worked with, you're going to go ahead and just try it just to be different?
Yeah, 100%.
Kind of sounds like experimentation where they're just like, whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
I really like this Brooks Iron House brew, by the way.
Brown Iron.
Brown Iron Brew House.
I was going to ask you.
I've been
Brooks
drinking
Iron.
A lot of margaritas.
That's all right. Not to be confused with a collab with Brooks or something.
Yeah.
So.
No, I've been drinking a lot of margaritas. I apologize.
Now, is Baffin on tap at Brown Iron Brewhouse in Washington Township, Michigan at 27 in Van Dyke?
It was on tap.
How did that pour?
It poured well.
Was it the mango? Which one did you guys carry?
Maybe mango. That sounds more familiar.
It's like, don't look at me. I just brew
the
beer.
Don't look at me. I just make the beer.
Don't look at me. I just work once in a while.
Just show up. Everyone's, hey, what's going on? I'm here. Oh, you're going to send me to CBC? Sure, I'll go. I mean, I only work like once a week, but I'll go for CBC.
Now,
do it for the beer.
Kind of a,
that's how we do the show.
kind of an off the wall question for those out there who homebrew. Is there a favorite hops or a favorite hop that you like to use?
For me personally,
yes,
I love. For bittering, my favorite one to use is Nugget from Churchkey Farms in Michigan. I know the farmer personally, super nice guy, but I really like it. It has like the starfruit quality, but I use it for bittering for almost all of our beers.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite hop to use for flavoring is either Mosaic or Nelson Sauvon. Mosaic. I don't like Citra personally. A lot of people love Citra. I don't mm-hmm. like it. I'm one of the people that get the off flavors from it. That reminds me of something that a lot of people like. A lot of homebrewers will say it tastes like a cat.
Ammonia.
Yeah. I get that really heavy, so I don't like it. But I get all the great parts of Citra from Mosaic, and none of the bad ones.
Nice.
So I really like.
So I kind of got bored one day and decided to. Pick up a kit. I went up to Adventures in Homebrewing and went through there because Adventures in Homebrewing is a really, really cool store. And, mm-hmm. and anybody who's never checked them out, just definitely head up there. Really nice guys. and they have this huge recipe book that just sits there right in front of their counter. You just flip through it, and they have all these different clones in there. And there was one that was in there, and I've never had it, so I said, what the hell? And it was a clone for Pliny the Elder. And I said, hey, I kind of want to try and make that. And he said, okay. So printed out the recipe, and he just basically – it was like him just doing all the shopping. He just went through and just got every single thing that I needed and just walked out the store with this stuff. I got home, and I'm just smelling these hops in the fridge like, what is this glorious smell that's coming from here?
Yeah.
And I have found that by – like right now, my favorite hop right now is Simcoe.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's just the absolute – just the aroma that comes off of Simcoe. It's ridiculous. And that's still – still have some still sitting in the fridge, and the wife kind of she kind of smelled that. She's like, what is this coming from the
put
fridge?
Put in a jar called potpourri.
Good idea. I don't think it's going to work, but it's a good idea.
So did you ever break in that kit that your mother-in-law got you?
My mother got me, and yes, I did, because I got like super bored, as I said. And
so you've brewed twice now?
No, I've brewed once.
Okay.
So it is basically – it was a Saturday – Dina had to work, and I just said, well, I got nothing to do. I'm going to brew because I'm like
– Now, did
the
you
inspiration is amazing.
Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
So it basically – it's been –
Couch or Brewing Company.
Yeah. Probably going to name it. That's a good name. I brewed it 2 weeks ago. It was fermenting the it finally, I believe it just stopped fermenting yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So it is, I'm probably going to still let it sit there for a couple more days.
Does it say put in a secondary?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Well, there's still the other hops that I have to.
Don't even worry about it. I'm telling you, like the biggest sham of homebrewing is a secondary. Unless you're going to age your beer for more than, let's say, a month or two, there's no reason for it. All it does is oxidize your beer. It makes it worse. Just throw the hops in, dry hop it. Put it in your fridge if you can. That way everything will drop out of suspension. Then bottle it or keg it after that. Don't do the secondary. It's worthless. It's absolutely worthless.
The more you know.
I guess so.
Star wipe.
It's like the biggest thing. I'm the biggest advocate against it. Like, there isn't a single brewery that does that in the world. All they do is they may drop it into a different tank to get it off the yeast so they can pitch a new beer on top of it. But no brewery will be like, oh, I'm going to transfer this beer into another tank because there's yeast in this one. Like, well, we either get rid of it to repitch that yeast or to just be able to make it clear faster.
Yeah.
But nobody does. It's ridiculous.
So we're going to try this beer on the air and then tell you how bad it is? So
of course. I expect that. I mean, it's first try.
But isn't it like man law? You're supposed to always tell your friend their beer is good. No matter what.
Oh, no. I expect complete, like, Dan doctrine up here. It's like, if I bring a beer and you don't like it, you tell me you don't like it.
Is it a brown ale?
Oh, no. No, I know you won't like it because it's Pliny. It's an IPA.
Sorry. I actually like Pliny the Elder.
Oh.
Did you see the photo by chance that I posted today on Facebook?
No.
I posted a Facebook photo of my beer fridge from 9 years ago when I was 21. And this thing looks like an entire Jenga board because, like, the middle shelf, everything's on its side stacked up, like, five high, and then there's some in the front. And then I probably had a good, I would say, 150 bottles in there, and then, like, a case of Bud Light right in front of it. Like, oh, I got this, too, in case, you know, friends come over and they want Bud Light. But that's – I used to go to – this was before – this was before Zatuna Liquor was open over on Rochester Road, just south of M59.
Shit, this picture is like a quarter of Zatuna Liquor as it is. Damn.
Could you look at the photo? I'll post it on the Facebook page as well as in the description just so you guys can see. It's definitely it showed up in my timeline today of like me. And it looks like I took it out of potato. Like that, like a potato camera.
Was it a flip phone?
It might have been.
It might have been a Nokia.
Yeah.
It might have been. We're talking Razor. 9 years ago.
Could have been a Razor.
No, it was probably a Blackjack.
What is that?
Yeah. Was that like the American BlackBerry?
No, well, it was kind of like a BlackBerry, but
it's a burner from Walmart.
Is that the first version of the Obama phone? Is that why they call it Blackjack?
This was a Samsung Blackjack phone. You can get it on Amazon. It's like $100 apparently still.
Oh, geez.
Good Lord.
I was going to say, this was back when like 3G first started, and I would message people on AOL Instant Messenger on my phone.
Which is also 20 years old today.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Damn.
It came out on Cinco de Mayo?
1997.
Like a bad idea.
So that's just the program, right? That's because AOL is older than 20 years for sure.
Oh, I don't know. I was scrolling fast.
And all those damn CDs are getting the mail. Oof.
I was going to say, we used to play Frisbee with those.
I loved those CDs, by the way. And whip them at anybody.
Damn right.
33 days.
33 right. days. That's that and Net Zero. Net Zero was another one. That was the Kmart Blue Light Special disc.
Yep.
And then was Netscape Navigator?
Netscape Navigator. There was Juno. There was Prodigy. Prodigy even goes further back, too.
So we're going to take a quick break, though. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 82 of the Better on Draft podcast. We are still sitting here with Baffin.
Stout 16 champion.
Stout 16 champion. The first ever beating your arch nemesis, Sherwood, in the bracket.
And the underdog of this table.
The only dog of this table.
I listened to every single one, and the only people that had my back was Perrin.
Yes, so. Mike did have your back.
Perrin, oh, my goodness.
Mike called that shot.
I wasn't here for that event.
I think you had me at the end.
No, you and Dan had the exact same bracket, which is hysterical.
I guess I have to listen back to it and remember.
You had me at the last one.
I never did.
No, I know, and it offended me.
No, it didn't.
No, it really didn't, but it was fine.
So, always with segment two, we always kind of talk about the news, and we got a lot to talk about. But first, before we get into the news, not getting on my high horse yet.
I'm good.
Because I definitely will.
Oh, I know you will.
So, I went to the World Expo of Beer Judging this past weekend, and they had over 680 beers that showed up. Sam Adams Utopia was there.
Oh, that's amazing.
They had plenty of beers from Michigan, a couple from Canada, plenty of beers from around the states, whether it was the Sam Adams, obviously, was there. There was a few others that went into the contest. Blue Moon entered the contest. I think it actually won its category, right? Too. Yeah,
they probably won everything.
So
seems weird.
The coriander contest is what they won.
So nonetheless, I went in there expecting, for lack of better words, a bunch of douchebags. Like, if you look at the craft beer scene and the community, especially and more the fanboys. So you're talking your standard Facebook groups, your standard beer advocate, beer untapped, et cetera. I was expecting just giant douchebags. And I walked in there, 9 a.m., they're all ready to drink. They've been, you know, they had a big breakfast. They have water. They have bread and crackers on the table to eat and cleanse their palate. And sure enough, they just went in. And every table that I sat down at, everyone was very knowledgeable, but not full of themselves. And it was such an interesting aspect to talk to these people because not knowing 90% of the stuff that they were talking about, they were just like, oh, you know, they were bantering back and forth. So each table, so how they judge, each table has three judges. You have a master BJCP judge.
BJ judge?
BJCP.
I knew you were going to do that.
Sorry.
A novice judge and then a non-registered judge. So someone that does not have any certifications in judging.
Was that you?
No, I was not judging at all.
Oh.
So within the contest, they basically go through, eliminate and award a first, second, and third. They don't have to award a first. There was one category where there was three beers, and they awarded second place and third place. There was no gold medal winner. So apparently that third beer was so bad.
Oh.
And,
but the first one was so not good.
So I'll tell you guys what the beer is off the air because we've all had it on the show before.
Oh, boy.
Was it a mystery beer?
It was not a mystery beer. It was not.
I actually really like the mystery beers.
PBR.
Oh, don't worry. You've got it coming. Oh,
PBR PBR is definitely, I think they got second in their category. So that would be the closest to the mystery beer that we have here.
I think we've had a PBR.
We have not had a PBR yet.
No, the guys, the Joes said that yours was PBR, and I claimed it was a malt liquor, and everybody vetoed against me, but it was.
No, I wouldn't have brought a PBR.
No, they said it was PBR. I'm getting off track.
Was it Steel Reserve?
No, it wasn't.
No, that was the Kalen and
it was Mickey or
Mickey's. It might have been. I don't know.
I'll bring the PBR next week. It's my favorite.
Still pissed.
There's probably some in the fridge right now. So, They went through the judging. So each category, so these 24 people, well, eight groups of people went through 680 beers and judged the top 38, which is like one for each category. And then there was a panel of five judges who then went through those 38 beers themselves and picked a winner.
Jesus.
And you know what the winner was? A brown ale. Bonfire Brown from Saugatuck Brewing took first place. So this is a contest, not necessarily a taste contest, but a closest style. To style contest. So you have to, you know, match the color. You have to match the aroma, the flavor. It's such a strict contest in regards to that, because if you make a beer and you're off color, you're automatically disqualified.
Damn.
Like, that's the first beer that they'll take out. It could be the best tasting beer ever.
I'm against that. I'm against the whole style thing of being super to style. Like, that's fantastic if you want to make a beer that's super to style, but I don't think any single brewer should be like, oh, I'm going to make this beer to style because I have to.
The most brown ale in the world.
Yeah, you should do what you want. Like, well, if it tastes
good, I think at that point, like, you're not going to see Dragon's Milk Reserves, like, there, but you'll see Dragon's Milk there. So you won't see Perrin's No Rules, but you might see Unfinished Business.
Now, was North Center Brewing from Northville, Michigan?
North Center Brewing did not enter, so they did not win anything.
Oh, but they're still on just south of Baseline Road and North Center, just south of Baseline in Northville, Michigan.
There you go.
Took a long time to get there, yeah, but we got there.
They get the most amount of plugs.
Months.
They get the most amount of sponsorship time out of my mouth because I've just butchered it.
I get 7.6 on from the judges.
No, so they weren't there. Obviously, they'll be at the upcoming Summer Beer Fest in Ypsilanti, Michigan. We'll be there as well.
Ooh.
So are you guys going to be bringing a tent there?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's my favorite one. That
I might just tag one.
I've heard that the Upper Peninsula Beer Fest is the best one to go
to. And it is. However, my favorite one is the summer one because the weather is amazing. It's great. It's warm. We all do dunk tanks of ice buckets at the end of the time. It's a fun time. It's a great time.
I'm all for that.
Well, that's next week, isn't it?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
No. The Summer Beer Fest is in July.
Yeah, but what's
next
week?
Summer.
Next week is the Cascale Festival.
Oh, that's right. I'm getting things. But those are both in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
No, Cascale is in Westland.
Oh, same thing. Come on. Potato, potato.
There's a big difference between Westland and Ipsy.
Oh, come on. One side of 275 and the other?
Streets? A lot of streets.
Earned income.
Like, coming from the guy who's wondering where his milk is coming from.
That's another difference. Is Ypsilanti and Westland not the same thing?
Do the cows taste different on the other side of the street?
They might.
On the other side of 275.
They don't have all
I mean, you do have Domino Farms over there.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't have
that
plane flying over them given the
scary. I don't know. All I imagine with Westland is a bunch of juggalos. So are these like...
Are you down with the
clown. I am not a hatchet man.
I'm there every week. I've yet to see any juggalos walk in. Ashley's.
You're on the right
side
of town.
I've always considered Mount Clemens the more juggalo-centric area.
I can't tell you the last
juggalish?
Time.
Juggalo-centric.
But I do now
Mount
love
Clemens.
Juggalish. And that's the word I'm going to start using.
Mount Clemens, New Haven, Richmond.
This area seems quite juggalish.
I had class in Mount Clemens. I didn't see any.
What? Have you ever thought about brewing a beer with Faygo, maybe?
No, because that's real magic.
Would that be a collab? That would be a collab.
How does that work?
That's some real magic. Anyway.
So Rob, with the news, because I can't wait to get to these.
Oh, man, what the hell is going on with this week? We're going to start with the kind of the lower on the radar one to then lead up into the big one, because just announced yesterday.
I'm curious which one you say low, because both of them I have comments about.
I mean, based on the reaction, I'd say the reaction has been low on this one, because obviously we have known that Lagunitas has been owned 50% by Heineken, and Heineken did that purchase 2 years ago. As of yesterday, Heineken has now bought full ownership of Lagunitas. So no disclosure as to the cost of what the second half was, but basically the Amsterdam-based brewery plans on putting Lagunitas in more foreign markets than it is already. I believe it's already in the likes of China, Japan, India, and they obviously want to accelerate the process and put it into more places around the world. Tony McGee, the founder of Lagunitas, they already have has basically made plans of making a third brewery. They have two already, one in California, one in Chicago. They want to open a third one, which will be the second brewery in California in the city of Azusa, conveniently placed like right down the street apparently from Miller Coors. So they're going to be not that far from them. But initially, this new brewery is going to be able to produce more than 400,000 barrels annually with a max capacity of 1 million. Essentially, if I believe what I read was that all three breweries were working at max capacity, that would put out 2.75 million barrels per year.
So 2,750,000 barrels?
Yes, correct.
I can't even remember the last time I had a Lagunitas beer.
I don't think I've ever had one, period.
Now, I just had the
Ferndale, what's the festival where like all the artists sell come by. Out?
Lagunitas
Sucks is one of them.
Yeah, I think it was the DIY that I went to where they Lagunitas had their own tent.
They make great IPAs.
And I guess kind of one of the things is that, you know, when that Waldo Special Air, which I had that last week, I wasn't very impressed with it. And the High Westified, when both of those come out, those are very highly sought after and nobody really cares, you know, whether they're owned by Heineken or not. It just doesn't seem like there's a lot of fallout that has come on with Lagunitas with this news hitting.
Do you think it's because this one was more expected than the other? Like this was kind of.
I think it's going to
because they were already owned by Heineken as it was.
But even at the initial purchase, not too many people. Maybe because it was a 50-50. Like everyone understood it was for distribution, and so like the hate didn't come out for the second part.
I think this hate's going to pass, man. I mean,
it always passes.
I mean, well, it's people. The people that care are going to be strong voice, but then the people who are really drinking it all the time, as long as the quality doesn't suffer.
What's funny is that this is one of the biggest craft breweries in the United States. Mm-hmm. And what we'll be talking about next is nothing in comparison. When you're talking Lagunitas, you're talking 2.75. You're talking number three after Yuengling and Sam Adams.
Well, I guess they're not on that list anymore, are they?
Well, they're technically not on that list anymore.
Right.
But if they're at max capacity, like they would be the number three that's not – You know, and let's just call it what it is. Not a macro, so not Miller, not Coors, not Bud.
Still a macro. Technically,
it's still a no. Is it technically a macro because it's owned by foreign investor?
If you make more than I think 60,000 barrels a year, you're a macro.
Not at all. 6 million.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yes, and I know Jim Koch and DG Yuengling spent a lot of money to change that from 2 million to 6 million.
They lobbied the hell out of that one.
Yes. And that's to be honest, though, that's all based solely on what do you call it? Two taxes.
Yep.
You know, somebody came in, and I'm trying to think of what interviewer it was, and it was a really good point and said, could Sam Adams make more beer if they wanted to? And we all said, of course. And they said, no, because the second you make more than a certain amount, you join a different tax bracket, you join a different way that you're created in regards to what you're referenced as, and therefore have to pay more money. So unless they can make that jump from, say, 5 million to 10 million in a year, there's no reason for them to make more than 5 million. Mm-hmm. Not that their beer is like running out of the shelf to where the supply and demand is there, but in regards to distribution, they could distro more than they could distro more than 6 million if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
So is Lagunitas going to be that one American craft brand that you go everywhere and you see this brand next to Heineken in Beijing, Munich, Barcelona? Is that going to be the next step where this becomes that American beer?
Like, well, it's so hard to compare because the comparison obviously is you got the high-end brand from Budweiser where you see Goose Island next to Elysian, next to Breckenridge.
Stella,
right.
So you don't necessarily have that yet with Heineken. So I would think that shelf space, obviously Heineken's going to own it to where they're going to be able to put it next to each other. But I don't see too much of a issue in regards to what you're thinking, where it's always going to be Heineken next to Lagunitas.
Well, I mean, I don't even worry about shelf space. I'm talking, you know, tap space because you're not – I mean, I don't know what Japanese party stores look like. I don't know if they have the same shelves as – We have because, I mean, state to state, they're differently. So is this going to be, you know, Heineken goes into a bar, they buy the taps like Budweiser does, and then, you know, Heineken's known as this international brand. Is this going to be
probably like everywhere you see Heineken, you're going to see
it. Is this going to be like
– Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but is this going to be like McDonald's where people from other countries see Lagunitas and they think this is what Americans drink? they eat McDonald's and they drink Lagunitas.
I would think with the idea of wanting to put it out in more foreign markets, that's the whole idea.
I would think it would definitely be the craft beer of America. Because I think if you think they eat McDonald's, they drink Budweiser.
You can get a Royale with cheese with a nice nice Lagunitas.
With a nice large Farva or a large soda.
It's a liter of Farva.
Can I get a large cola? A liter of cola. So I see what you're saying, and I do believe that it's going to be the American craft that gets distributed throughout Europe and Asia.
Yeah. It's going to be weird because then – you know, people are going to come to America. Think, you know, I've drank Lagunitas. I know all about American craft. And then they come here.
I mean,
like,
if you're drinking, I was going to say, if you're drinking enough Lagunitas in regards to their IPAs, because that's what they're famous for, you're going to be prepared for American beer the second you walk into the States.
That's true.
Here we go.
All right. Well, that kind of goes into the second one, which pretty much I think I'm just going to read this. I'm not even going to ask the question, and I'm just going to let Ken go off.
Did you want to just close everybody's mic off and you get on your soapbox again?
So basically the news, as he's taking his coat off, this is...
Welcome to Ken's... This is Ken's Corner.
Damn.
Just like last week, he had his little...
I mean, he just put the cardboard down and the boombox is sitting there.
Let me fill my beer real quick, too, while you're talking.
He is about to go break into Electric Boogaloo on everybody. So the news broke on Wednesday that Asheville, North Carolina's pride and joy, that is Wicked Weed Brewing, has been acquired by The High End, which is, of course, ABI's craft beer division.
It's actually called The High End?
The High End. Yep. Yes. Because
high,
you know,
on what?
It's not a creative bunch.
Right.
Yeah. Not a creative. It's B2B. It's B2B.
Exactly. Right? No details have been released as to the price tag, but it's stated that operations are going to remain as they are for now. Founders Walt and Luke Dickinson say they are planning, they're basically just going to just focus on growth and expand their brewing capabilities. But of course, when this news hit, it just, the backlash just came in full force from everywhere. There were stores that came out saying that they weren't going to carry the beer anymore. There were collaborations that Wicked Weed was doing with Black Project in Colorado and Jester King in Texas. They issued statements saying that they have ceased their collaborations immediately, citing AB InBev's business strategies, mission, and overall ethics. And, of course, now that they are now owned by ABI, North Carolina Craft Brewers Guild has now revoked their membership.
I got more to add now.
there is a Funkatorium Invitational that Wicked Weed puts which happens generally in July, was scheduled to feature over 70 breweries. And as of what I saw about 2 hours ago, 40 of them have dropped out. Primed them basically send out notification to ticket buyers that if they no longer wanted to attend because of the news, that they would offer a refund. Ken?
Hi. And I think this might be a conversation between me and you.
Who cares? Why are people so mad?
So can I ask you a question? You can decide to answer
No, I will answer.
Okay.
I'm going to say something.
So Anheuser-Busch comes to you.
Okay.
And we're going to say they offered you fuck you money, which fuck you money means that basically you're going to be taken care of for the rest of your life. You don't have to worry about working. You don't have to worry about your kids working. You, Joe, hell, we'll even throw Mike in just for fun.
Can I get in on this?
No.
Yeah. Well, no, don't discriminate.
So you're all given a settlement to basically, because what they're doing
is they're buying
your property, they're buying your rights, and they're buying your recipes.
So that's cool.
And they give you enough money, you know, we'll throw it $50 million.
Okay.
Well, that's a fair number, $50 million.
Everybody has a price.
But the thing that we said from the very beginning is if that actually happens, which we're guaranteed it will never happen. We're a small time brewery. We didn't start with $10 million in our pocket. But if that ever happens, we would love to expand. Absolutely, we would love to become partners. But no, we would never. Well, I can't say never. But what we don't want to do is we would never sell without any say. So what we would do is we would be in charge of the beer production. We would be charging the ingredients and what the beer does to make sure that everything's at top quality.
So as we come back, and I've mentioned this on a lot of posts, is that there's two types of ways to purchase somebody's. You can purchase monetarily, and you could purchase intellectually.
Yes.
And the intellectually could be control, mm-hmm. contracts, like how long they have to keep you on their payroll,
yes.
5, 10, 20 years, how long they have to use your rent. There are so many different constructs other than money.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you can get paid and you will take that payout as long as they have meet your requirements. Therefore, everybody, as Rob says, everybody has a price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter what, whether it's money, whether it's intellectual. Now, we'll go back real quick and we'll mention North Carolina Brewers Guild revoking their rights or whatever. And you come back to Michigan and what happened with Founders?
Yeah, 15%, right?
25.
Yeah.
And 30 is by San Miguel.
Yep. Yep.
And 25% is the rule. And Michigan Brewers Guild's like, we're not going to do that. And that's the difference between, you know, and there's really no difference between San Miguel and Anheuser-Busch.
No.
It's all big money. It's all big investors, mm-hmm. and it's what they're going to spend.
I think as long as the beer doesn't suffer, as long as the core competency of the company doesn't suffer, I don't understand why people would have such an uproar. Like when I heard that Founders, that happened to Founders, I was like, you know what? As long as their beer is still fantastic, which it is, as long as they're selling out and they couldn't do it before, you know, as long as they can go to different markets, great, good for them. Like, I'm happy for them. But as long as they're good.
And that's kind of one thing that they said. There was one comment that came from Walt that said, if we see a small dip in the immediate future, I'm comfortable with that because I feel like a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, they're going to come back and realize the beer hasn't changed. It's gotten better. I think we make some of the best beers in the region, and we do so consistently, and we get great support. At the end of the day, great beer will win.
See, and I guess I'm on neither of your sides here because
Switzerland?
I just think people – I guess I'm on your side to a point, and I'm on Ken's side to a point. I think people never – hold on, just let me get here.
Again.
Let me get here.
You know,
okay.
just wave a red flag with a white cross on it.
They're in Canada.
I guess let's put it this way, okay? If someone who goes to these beer fests – let's say his name's Bill, and he's an accountant, okay? Bill the accountant. And you know what? Bill's a really good accountant. Every year in January, thousands of people line up at Bill's door for him to do their taxes. And you know what? One day, Ernst & Young is going to realize that Bill's taking his business from them or Jackson Hewitt or H&R Block. And H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt are going to drive a Brinks truck over to Bill's place and say, this truck is yours, but you just have to put a E&Y or a Jackson Hewitt flag. Now, you still do what you want to do. Do it however. Just here's a fuck ton of money. Just do taxes and put our name on it.
But the difference is let's say he stops giving deductibles to people. Let's say he stops doing as good of a job. Then I can see.
Yeah, but I guess.
But if he's still doing a great job.
But what I'm saying is these are the type of. I mean, people go to these beer fests. They're accountants. They're insurance agents. And they don't kind of put the concept together that, you know, if the top person in my industry, whether I'm a real estate agent, whether I'm an attorney, if someone like absolute the king of what I do, whatever my industry I'm in, came to me and said, we want you, here's all the money you'll ever need, plus a little bit on top of it, they would all do the same thing. But they just, because they want to be their craft beer, macho, you know, this is the one thing isn't craft. They don't realize they would do the same thing, but they're all high and mighty, but this is craft beer. But it's
– Well, they'll say they won't do the same thing until they see the money.
Exactly.
Well, look at Dogfish Head. I mean, Sam is he's still the CEO. He's still the president of the company, but he controls on what the beer does. He controls what they make. And the beer's still fantastic, but what does he do? He goes out and tries to make new stuff, all right? He's still with the brewery. He's not the formal owner of it anymore. There's a whole bunch of people that own it.
It's an investment company.
Absolutely.
Or a hedge fund or
however,
like that.
This guy, he still is in control of what they do with the beer, and the beer's still great.
And my argument goes back to the douchebags that Ken was talking about the judging.
Well, they weren't douchebags. I thought they were going
exactly.
to be, but they weren't.
But these people, they want to get all high and mighty about their craft beer and their brands, but if faced with the exact same stipulation that they could translate to, they would do the exact same thing 100 times out of 100. And all their friends would do it. And if they insist, no, I would never sell out my accounting office or my insurance agency or whatever, well, you know what? All your friends are going to do it, and you can be the poor guy on the block.
But that's the thing, though, is that we asked you, would you do it, and you put your stipulations, but you said yes.
Yeah, so there's a stipulation, absolutely.
That's the thing, though, is that everybody says, oh, no, we're not going to do it. And you have
I'm a super honest guy. person.
Your holdouts, like, you know, like, I don't think Jim Coke can be touched just because it's a publicly traded company.
And it's huge.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a lot different. But
look,
like,
look what happened to some alleged Chicago brewery. I won't say any names, but
who has lines at the door in Black Friday?
But they got bought out, and what happened? They lost all say, and the original owners control one brew pub, and everybody jumped ship.
I don't even think they control that anymore.
I know. Wrigleyville is not owned.
I know, but I'm saying
anymore.
at that time they all jumped ship. And then they started their own thing, which is fantastic. They were able to do what they wanted. But we said from the very beginning, if that ever comes into fruition, of course we have a price. All right, everybody has a price. You'd be lying if you say if you don't. However, the one thing that we do have is integrity of our product, and we really care about it. And we spent too much time and effort building what we do, and we want to be in control of the beer production itself. All right, so let's say other people want to control where it goes. That's fine. But if people start making like cheaper ingredients, if they take away the hops or the mango that we use or stuff like that, that's where we draw the line.
What if they make you peel the mangoes by hand?
They better buy me a really awesome peeler.
a 24-karat rose gold peeler.
Yeah, it's a Bruno Mars peeler. I'm in.
Yeah. Laser.
So coming back, we're talking Wicked Weed here, which is in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, big craft brew hub in regards to the breweries that are there. But the fact of the matter is that Wicked Weed at mass production isn't even a top five brewery in the state of Michigan in regards to production. So they're not a top 50 in the U.S. because even Michigan, I think, only has one or two in the top 50 in the U.S. So this brewery isn't a big brewery, and I'm going to call them out. You guys can recant and say that you're not part of this, which is perfectly fine.
The views voiced by Ken Kondrzewski has absolutely no bearing on everyone else.
I'm going to wait to see what he says before I plant my flag.
This is yours. Go for it.
So Hopcat comes out with a post because Hopcat's obviously the high and mighty, we don't sell craft or non-craft beer. Fine, whatever, I don't care. But they said that they could have gone public and had a valuation that was huge. And I sat there and I'm looking at these statistics, and you're talking a 20,000 barrel a year company would not be able to have a go public. Like, even Bell's at this point, I don't even think could go public.
Oh, Bell's could go public.
Bell's is probably New Holland.
Number four in the state right now.
Well, didn't New Holland just sell to some?
New Holland sold their distribution rights to Pabst.
So they could probably go public just because they have the distribution deal with Pabst.
Well, North Carolina is another market, though. You gotta look at it, you know, per capita in the state where they're in. North Carolina is a very new, in the last 5 years, so let's say 10 years, market where Michigan's had it, at least, you know, since the 90s to some extent. Now, there aren't as many breweries in North Carolina, so it makes sense for these guys to jump the gun and say, okay, this is the next big brewery in North Carolina.
We aren't talking about people in North Carolina that are I'm sure they probably have the same sentiments. We're talking about people who aren't from North Carolina that are having the same sentiments in regards to this brewery being sold to ABI.
Mm. So, I guess what's...
I think it's a smart move on ABI, to be honest.
Oh, I agree. People forget that beer is a business.
Yeah.
Whether you put it or not, if you don't make money, you're not in business anymore.
Correct.
You don't. I assume you don't have the money that you can just lose thousands of dollars a month every month every year.
I would love to be that like billionaire that is just like, I'm giving away beer for free.
But that's the thing, though, is that's fuck you money.
Yeah,
that's the term of fuck. If you've never seen the movie The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg,
great movie.
That's where I get the term fuck you money. It's the term where, you know, someone can offer you money and you can look at them and say fuck you because you don't need it. Go on, Matt.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of gonna go back to where you were thinking is, if this brand doesn't even produce that much beer, then what's the strategy in ABI buying them or
control.
Acquiring them
recipes? But like,
well, control.
Because you don't distribute far enough doesn't mean that your beer isn't good.
I mean, look at it. North Carolina doesn't have a very prominent craft beer market right now. Yeah, they have.
They also have a lot of laws in regards to those craft beers.
I know, but
too.
They do.
They're working on it. When I was in CBC, North Carolina was hustling hard. Actually, it's going to be
held
when I was in
Charlotte last July, they were doing, because I went to NOTA, which had a couple of breweries in that area, and they were saying the exact same thing.
I mean, they're jumping the gun. They're saying, okay, this is the next big industry, and when we were looking to start breweries, we looked at different states, and we're like, all right, so where the next big one's emerging. One was that region. And North Carolina, it makes sense from a business standpoint. You find the biggest one, the most popular one, you buy it now, then you don't have to pay the high price tag later on, and you have the biggest brewery there.
So is it just...
I was going to say, North Carolina has quite a few, according to one report.
They do now.
205 breweries.
Stone went there because they were going to try to go to Ohio, but Ohio had the cap on alcohol, so they went to North Carolina.
According to the list, they are 10th in as far as top states for breweries with 205.
But that's the money. That makes sense.
So is this kind of – is this a play to just – for ABI? Is ABI in that market at all in the Mid-Atlantic? Do they have a North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia? I mean, I know Oscar Blues has.
I'm pretty sure Budweiser has a brewery in right around there, North Carolina. Actually, somebody does.
I mean, I know
big production. Oh no, it's a.
I know Miller Coors had one.
New Belgium, I think, opened up a.
But isn't New Belgium? No, that's personally owned. Or
New Belgium is employee owned. Yes.
Yeah.
But I know Oscar Blues and Pernod are owned by the same. Parent company, right?
Oscar Blues, Cigar City.
Yep.
And didn't Cigar City just get acquired today or the other day
by some other?
Was that last week? I think that was a while ago.
Yeah. I think that came about because of all the Wicked Weed and Lagunitas posts as a counter of, you know, hey, why don't we do this? But if you look at, there's the Craft Brew Alliance, which is technically part owned by ABI, and you're just like, well, shit, like Kona's in that. I think Breckenridge is in that. There's a couple of breweries that are in that Craft Brew Alliance company, the CBA. Mm-hmm. And it's again, everybody forgets beer is business, no matter what. You can't give away free beer. So we are giving away beer. Well, we bought it, though. We bought it.
The state and the feds need to know that you have purchased it already.
I've given enough beer.
And it is not free beer.
The beer has been purchased. Yes. Like, well, let me rephrase that. It will be purchased on Sunday.
For the record.
Yes.
All right.
And your staff will be getting a nice tip on that top, because I don't trust people to tip. On free stuff.
That's fair.
I've worked in the industry, the restaurant industry, enough to understand that people tip on the discounted amount, not the original amount.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with
people
that.
People will be like, oh, I'm getting a deal. I should be able to just tip them the same amount. I'm getting the deal on the price.
No.
If I'm getting like a complimentary deal or something like that I never knew about, usually that's the tip. Like when we went to Roke, and we,
oh goodness,
like John Leone took care of us. Uh-huh. The waiter walked away with like about $100.
Yeah. Nice.
From five of us, because we're like, well, thank you, John, but we still need, like, this guy served us.
Yeah, he did his job.
Checked in, did his, you know, got us our water, our beer, our pizza, etc. So here's your tip, which was, I think we pretty much paid for our food as a tip.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
nice.
Yeah, it's. Again, beer is business, and you have to follow that. And yes, ABI is the – and one of the big things too, before we go to break, one of the big things that everyone complains about is the whole anti-craft beer ads that Budweiser – or let me rephrase that, Anheuser-Busch puts out, because they forget that craft beer – like they own craft beer, but this is a Budweiser commercial. This is a commercial for the beer Budweiser. Right. Just as Bud Light is a anti-Budweiser commercial, just as Diet Pepsi is an anti-Pepsi commercial. These commercials, and you look at Pepsi. PepsiCo owns Naked Juice, you know, which is a healthy juice product. And
is it actually healthy, or is it like the vitamin water with Coke says?
Sugar, no,
why are you expected to think that vitamin water is vitamin?
There's way too much sugar in that shit.
I love Naked Juice. Well, no, let me rephrase it. I like Bold House more than anything. But God, why can't I think of the name of? Oh, they're gonna kill me.
Place.
Too. I go to the place. Yes, I go to the place. The juice place. Beyond Juice. There we go. Beyond Juice over in Detroit, which is right across the street, and get, you know, really fresh made juices and smoothies.
Are you
all the
allowed
time.
To go there for your juicing diet?
No,
probably not this week.
It would depend on it. Every day is a specific.
I was gonna say they could probably make you whatever you wanted for.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely check it. It's not too far. It's in Eastern Market. It's okay. In the Detroit.
This is like right across the street from Shed 3.
Yep. So again, beer is business. everything is best. Like, you forget everything about that, and you become a fanboy, and you forget that they have to make business decisions. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you Wicked Weed wasn't just like, yeah, we'll sell. No, they looked at it. They looked at the money and said, oh, so we can do this, 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 this. We're getting everything we want. Okay, yes, we will sell.
They just counted the commas and said yes.
They counted the counted the zeros.
They probably couldn't count that high.
Is that a North Carolina dig?
I don't know. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, episode 82 of the Better on Draft podcast. Segment three. And as always with segment three, we have five questions. So with Matt Bush.
Before we start, I have late breaking terrible news.
Uh-oh.
You're pregnant. It's going to be a soccer player.
Aubrey Matthews was 83, so he will be next year.
Next week's.
You've ruined my
Today
night.
Is the Jermaine Crowell episode.
Jermaine Crowell.
I was right about that. But so I was really conflicted by what our topic of the week should be. But then it became tomorrow, and thus the question starts this way. The Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. Geez.
It is this weekend.
And it is.
Takes place at Churchill Downs in what Kentucky city? No, there are more than one Kentucky city.
Oh, there's two. Louisville and Lexington.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Louisville because Lexington doesn't sound like a real place.
Lawville.
There's also the capital of the state.
What is the capital of Kentucky?
It's actually Frankfort.
Frankfort, Kentucky.
I'm going to Louisville.
I'm going to go with Louisville, sure.
Home of the slugger, Louisville.
I'm drinking my beer right now. I'll get to that later.
The answer is indeed Louisville.
There you go. Hey.
Yeah, point.
Yeah, yes.
Point Baffin.
Oh, another one where you guys didn't believe me and I won.
Yes,
I believed you. I went with you. Yeah. We actually believed with you in a group setting.
Point Cobra Kai.
All right. Now, this next one is a multiple choice question, so listen carefully.
Yep.
Horse racing is often billed as which of the following? The sport of sultans, the sport of kings, the fastest 3 minutes in sports, or the only sport with their own version of shit.
Well, the fastest 3 minutes is my sex life, so there's that one.
I was going to say that was a softball right there. I was like, how do I plan this?
T-ball, just T-ball.
Not even a softball. The ball was just there.
Well, it was soft. It was a softball.
Sorry to hear that.
He bunted the T-ball. V-Mart style.
I'm going to go with kings.
Jeez.
We have the sport of... Angela, do you have any participation?
She's just here to drink.
Okay.
The sport
of sultans, the sport of kings, the fastest 3 minutes in sports, or the only sport with their own version of shit.
You know what the longest 3 minutes of sports is?
Your sex
Annabelle
life?
Sanchez is on the mound.
Oh,
K-Rod, I don't
damn.
Know that.
Shoot, cold blood.
No, when K-Rod walks to the mound.
Where's F-Rod? Didn't he have the perfect season?
Fernando Rodney?
That's yeah.
Really interesting.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. So, there was a Tiger that had a perfect season, like 69
oh, yeah.
up, 69 down. He had 69 save opportunities. He entered and won all 69.
No, it was 49 for 49. 49 for 49. It was Jose Valverde back in 2011.
Yeah. There you go. I knew it existed.
Oh, I'm going with the sport of kings.
Okay. It is the sport of kings.
There you go.
Hey. Yeah, I came here to
She's
quiz
cheating
all you guys.
Off of me.
There you go. The Golden Grizzly over there.
The Golden Grizzly graduate.
Graduate. Golden Grizzly, the 3G. She ain't a 4G. She's a 3G.
Never mind.
Grizzly U. All right. So, all right. Well,
I'll take G Unit for 400.
You guys all have a beautiful beverage in front of you.
Oh, shit. We're already at question three.
Yeah.
That's what we get for like this one.
What is that smell?
Ken, this one's for you.
I don't know.
This one's for me?
This one is specific. This one's specifically for Ken.
Why is this one for me?
Just put it in your mouth.
It smells like Irish Spring.
Sake.
Oh, this is the...
Yes, this is the mystery beer.
Seriously. Why does, like, 75% of the beers that you bring
in like
smell
soap
like soap
water?
See?
You know what? I'm going to afford you guys a third question this time.
Hold on.
Because I just feel like it's necessary.
Oh, man. What tasty notes are you getting over there?
Yeah, so I'm saying, should we break this down like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and be like, well, my mother, when she was 62, told me once... That she had a time.
Well, that's like Slumdog Millionaire, yeah. Where you're trying to give an excuse as to why you knew all the answers.
Dude, just answer the fucking question.
All right, so it's fairly light. It doesn't taste as sweet as last time, so it's not. It doesn't not taste like a malt liquor. Okay, so it tastes fairly. So it tastes fairly neutral to me. It's. It tastes like a normal rice.
It tastes like corn a light lager. Beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily a lager because it tastes, or definitely a lager, but not a light lager.
Oh.
So.
What about you, Angela? Do they serve this at Brown Iron Brewhouse?
This tastes like a domestic, and we do not carry domestics.
Absolutely. It does taste
like
domestic.
You carry plenty of domestics. I saw you had Odd Side there.
Actually, anything.
That's in the United States.
Anything in the United States is domestic.
Oh, what?
Oh, that's the difference between domestic and imported.
Wait a second.
Obviously, she didn't get her degree in economics.
Oh. I try to do that.
You know
stuff
what?
In bars
that is
time.
A low blow. I almost failed that class.
Oh. Wait, which one? 101 or 102?
303, the third.
Oh, well, that's fine. That's fair.
It's a 300 level class.
It's a 300 level class. Those are right. Difficult.
You're supposed to be weeded out at that point.
We'll weeded out.
Because that means she got bought out of that class.
There we go.
Or she bought out of that class.
Either way.
I would have paid to get out of that class.
There we go.
You should have just withdrawn. No?
Hey.
All right, so
C's
got...
get degrees.
C's get degrees.
Right. And she got the paper.
Wise man always said, what do you call a doctor that got C's in his classes?
What's that?
Doctor.
Doctor. if this is PBR, I'm going to effing laugh.
So it wouldn't be for me if it was PBR.
I think it's too light to be PBR.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I'm going to go with question number one just to kind of break it down. Is this brewed in the United States?
It is.
Okay.
That was a wasted question.
It wasn't a wasted question.
No.
That removes every single Canadian beer, every single stupid import that he brings, like Heineken, Corona, or...
He did already bring Corona, and that's all finished.
Twice, which, actually. I brought in Corona.
He brought in Corona twice.
I'm really disappointed in here.
Why?
Because it's awful.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's Cinco de Mayo.
It doesn't matter. They're much better.
Would you have preferred Mexican. Negro Modelo?
Yes, I would have.
See, I just wanted one, and that was the only, I mean, that or Modelo.
I went to,
I mean, that's fair, I guess.
I went to a little Mexican town in Baltimore. And this guy sat down next to me, and I'm drinking a beer because I'm hammered and it was the only place open.
You're drinking a beer because you're hammered?
Well, yes.
It sounds about right.
I mean, it was within walking distance, so I didn't, you know, do anything bad. And this guy sat down. He's like, hola, ¿cómo está? I'm like, oui, bien, ¿eh, tú? And he starts speaking. I'm like, dude, that's the furthest I know of Spanish. He starts laughing his ass off.
I know cat, I know pants, and bathroom, bro.
Tango, el gato, los pantalones.
And el baño, just leave me alone. That's all I know.
There's a cat in your pants. Can I go to the bathroom?
Por favor.
Por favor. Blue streak. That's how I know that phrase. So we know right. It's American.
This is an American beer.
This smells like PBR.
If it's a PBR, I don't drink enough PBR. I'll never drink another PBR because I don't think it's PBR.
That's because you've had like a super strong margarita, probably. That's destroyed your taste.
All right, let's not.
I was gonna say my winter ale that I've been drinking from Lumber Barons has destroyed my taste buds for sure.
See, we got caught just centering around one beer last time, thinking it was like some sort of apple beer, and it turned out to be a fucking.
You know
champagne.
What? I'm gonna go ahead and
the champagne. Oh my god!
You know what? I'm gonna eliminate one of your questions and tell you this is in the same family as PBR.
This is
in the same family
is
as PBR.
Not
is this is a Pabst product,
so Pabst Stroh's. It doesn't taste like regular Stroh's unless it tastes like Stroh's in a can, because I don't drink Stroh's in a can.
It smells awful.
it's not the new Bohemian.
No, it's
Stroh's
not that's not the new one.
No, it's in
that's also not in the
it's
Pabst
in a 24 ounce can.
Does Stroh's come in a 24-ounce can? I don't think so.
I've never looked for a Stroh's in a 24.
All right, I'm going to give you one more clue. This is not sold in Michigan, but can you seek this out often?
Not sold in Michigan, Pabst product, and I seek this out often.
You do.
What?
It's like a Little Caesars ale. Like, what is it? Pizza beer.
I seek this out often.
Is that like a play on words? No.
So
I know Ken drinks this beer. He's had this beer multiple times.
I've had this beer multiple times.
Pull up the picture of the fridge.
You can't get it in Michigan, and you're asking us to guess what it is.
Well, I know Ken. I know Ken's had this beer multiple times.
Where?
It's certainly not E&D.
How did you get this?
I had a friend.
This is cheating.
Drive-in recently.
This is cheating.
I told you last week that I had a certain person coming in from out of state.
Can I say like a Pabst Ice?
It's not ice. It's not
well, no, first of all, this is something that everyone's heard of. Everyone's heard of this beer.
I don't know.
Trust me, I'll show you the can and you'll be like, I've heard of it.
Hmm.
This is really to rub it in Ken's face, to be honest.
Well, that's fair. I'm all about that.
To be honest, this is all to say Ken to go, ah, I should have known that.
Yeah. This is all to say Ken.
I guess this is all you then.
I got three more of these in the fridge for you to take home.
Wait, we've only asked one question.
Oh, my God.
Wait, we've only asked one question.
No, I know what it is. Oh. I know what it is.
What is this?
I think I do, too.
Oh, hold on. I'll let you ask the next question because I already know the answer.
We have two more questions, right?
We have one more.
Is this a cream ale?
No.
Oh, well then, F.
No, old style.
Yeah. Old style.
Oh, it is old style.
You
shit.
You drink that all the time?
I love going to Chicago. Like, the Chicago, when I go to Chicago, the first thing I drink is old style. So, like, after that, I drink whatever I want, but you have to have old style.
I had
style
a friend come in. She's from Chicago. I had her grab me a bunch of old style, so I got three more of these in the fridge for you.
I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, well, when he said that, I'm trying to think of, like, Pabst beers, and I'm like, it's brewed in America, but
it tastes
not
just like Pabst. Like, it honestly does.
Well, it's the Chicago Pabst. Just like Natty Bow is the Chicago.
The River Water.
The Baltimore. Yeah. Baltimore Pabst. All right, so question number four. The famous beverage at the Derby is the mint julep, which they will sell 127,000 of this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Besides mint, what one, two, three other items go into a mint julep?
Simple sugar?
Simple syrup?
Is that one of them?
I'm going to wait for...
I have no idea what the question was. I was reading the email. Like,
ice. Okay. Ice is one of them.
What are
ice,
the ingredients ice of a mint julep besides mint?
Whiskey. Julep? It's whiskey.
Oh, I would have guessed vodka.
It's whiskey.
Oh, God. What is this, a Russian drink? Jesus. Oh, this is American.
It's whiskey.
We race horses and wear funny hats.
And then, well, because, I mean, that's pretty much the only alcohol. So then after that seltzer.
No, all I know is whiskey, mint, simple syrup, ice... And then
seltzer water.
Maybe.
Well,
if you like to water shit down.
Well, hold on.
Obviously.
I understand simple syrup, and we're talking like, this is like the bar mint julep, but wouldn't like sugar just be the regular?
No, simple syrup. Because it dissolves. Sugar wouldn't dissolve.
Right. Sugar can dissolve in those drinks.
No, it's cold.
Sugar water.
Have you ever seen
Men in the Black? Men in the Black? Men in the Black?
I haven't seen that.
That's racist.
That Walmart black market one? No, I've not seen Men in the Black.
That's what I got from going to Arbor Brewing in India as a DVT.
It's just Gary.
Men in the Black.
It's just some cops knockoff
in
Gary,
It's with
Indiana.
A guy named Willem Smith.
I actually think that's a movie about accounting.
Men in the Black.
All right.
That's the new Ben Affleck movie.
Whole
the Accountant 2, Men in the Black.
It's about a gay male strip review that has to raise money to get out of debt.
But it's got to have Wesley Snipes.
And Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Jaden Smith.
I mean, you always
Jaden
bet on Smith. Oh,
yeah. Wesley Snipes has to mean everything.
If he's out of prison at this time.
No, he is out of prison.
He is out of prison.
I got
We're
that,
good.
Too.
We're good.
All right, so what other three ingredients are in mint julep?
I feel like I named
it. I said that.
So you're kind of close, but you're wrong. It's the formal recipe is 1 teaspoon powdered sugar, 2 ounces bourbon, 2 teaspoons water, 4 mint leaves.
Powdered sugar?
What? Hey, that's what they do in Kentucky.
Water?
Kentucky.
I don't believe they do.
I love
that.
How I had a thing about powdered sugar, but you had a thing about water.
I know. That's just kind of like.
All right. And then finally, all right. So I did the math, so it could be wrong. But as I said, they sell 127,000 mint juleps
in that event alone
this weekend.
Oh my Jesus.
So we're going to say question number 5, within 1,000, how many fifths of whiskey is that?
All right, so I would assume one shot because they're going to be cheap.
No, 2 ounces of bourbon.
Oh really? 2 ounces. So yeah. 2 ounces of time, 127. So we got 200,000 or
254.
Yeah, there you go. Then divided.
Matt made easy.
Boom.
Divided by
how many?
So
yeah,
1,000. 20? Isn't it 25? Oh no, so it'd be
750 milliliters.
Thank you.
That's a metric,
we're
not
ounces.
We're in ounces.
We're in America here.
Convert it, you nerds.
I don't know how to convert that.
Yeah, convert 254,000 ounces to.
All right. Well, there are 10 ounces in a pint. So you can do it that
16.
way.
There's 16 ounces in a pint.
No, 10 point. There's like 10 point.
There's 16 ounces in a pint.
I don't believe you. I'm going to Google that.
Oh my God.
All right.
Then these margaritas are much stronger.
All right. So the answer is they will sell 9,921 bottles of whiskey. So that's 127 drinks times 2 ounces per drink. And at 25.6 ounces per fifth, that is 9,921 bottles.
I was going to say,
in one
week, the 10,000, because I thought it was 25 or 26, but I thought,
could you imagine?
if it was 25, then we'd obviously wouldn't be within the thousand, or 24, we wouldn't be in the thousand. So within that, the 10, or
and then
within
I guess,
the 1,000.
I mean, I'm not a horse racing guy, but I just need a number of 1 to 20, and whoever
16.
Okay. So our guest has 16. I mean, I'll buy you. I will actually buy you a beer if you're right.
Go Seabiscuit.
So, Rob, your horse will be numbered what?
14.
It says Orb, not Rob. All right. So, Ken.
Orb.
What is your number between 1 and 20? Ken's going to go with the post.
No horse wins from the post.
On the rail, yeah.
The Imperial Rye IPA from...
Lynchpin?
Yeah, Lynchpin's fantastic, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Angela, do you have a number?
I want 7.
7?
Oh, lucky.
And then I'm going to take my always lucky number.
13.
No, I always take 11.
82.
It's kind of without...
83 this week.
That is actually without the outside of the parameters of the Kentucky Derby. So that is your Kentucky Derby trivia for the day, the week, the month, and probably the year. We will bring this back up next year, maybe.
I'll be there for you.
I'll be there for you, too.
If I'm not, can I be on call?
Yes. Right. You will be our phone a friend that week.
Oh, yeah. I would love to do that.
Perfect.
We're going to Skype you, and you're going to have to stop
Nobody
whatever...
Nobody Skypes. What is this, 1998?
Okay, we'll FaceTime you. We'll tango you?
I have an Android. We'll
tango you.
I can dance. I can tango.
No, tango's the app.
Google Duo.
I will tango you, baby. Hey. All night.
Call me Seabiscuit.
I will if you want me to.
Wait, holiday are we celebrating?
Did you guys see the photo of LeBron James with the Great Lakes Brewing Co.
Yes,
beer?
That was actually, no, I had that in my news. Then we didn't get to that.
He like missed a shot or something like that. So he went and grabbed a bottle of beer from someone sitting courtside.
Well, his story. Well, he was fouled going up for a layup.
He was fouled going up.
And as he was throwing his little tantrum like he always does, his energy took him to the sideline, by which he was passing a vendor who he just grabbed a bottle from. And his comment was after the game, if it would have been red wine, I would have probably taken a swig, but I don't like beer. So I'm sorry, as a member of the sports community,
Kobe for life,
I would not drink red wine on a athletic event. I mean, I don't know if I would drink beer either, but
I would drink anything.
I would definitely drink beer more than I would drink a glass of red wine.
I'm not going to discriminate against alcohols on an athletic event.
I was going to say, is it free? Because yes.
It's LeBron James. He owns the arena. He can do it. He could have taken his balls out, put them in the glass, then handed it to the drinker, and it was
a little
salty.
That's a nut brown ale.
That might have been an upcharge.
I can't tell if that's racist or wrong.
It didn't start it, but it definitely finished
wrong.
That way, and I apologize to everybody.
Well, if Rob says it's wrong and not racist, then that's
nut,
the rule
and
for...
What other nut something ales are there?
So would it be a nut brown or a brown nut ale?
Well, now it's racist.
Now it's racist.
Well, hold on, Rob.
No,
is
it would
it
be
racist?
No, it would be a brawn nut ale.
I like
ale.
How you just did the mix.
Brawn nut ale.
Brawn nut ale.
Now that's just not racist. That's just wrong.
Now it's a pun.
Yeah, perfectly.
I think you should brew that. The brawn nut ale.
The brawn nut ale. Put the number 23 on it. Just
he's number 6 now.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It was still kind of funny with him and Great Lakes Brewing getting in a little bit of trouble because
why did he send him a cease and desist or something?
Well, because they the picture of him holding the beer because it was Great Lakes Dortmunder Gold, and the picture got out on Twitter, so Great Lakes put it out there and just basically put a tweet that said the goat with the gold and. Got out to his people and his lawyers, and they were like, "You need to take
LeBron
that down."
LeBron should have been
now.
Like, "Give me free beer for life," and you can.
But didn't they like say
pint.
Like free pints or they made some sort of deal like they were going to change it to Dortmunder Goat because of it or something like that or?
No, I mean it was just kind
James.
Of a yeah. The
they heard that, you know, LeBron didn't like it. So, and then LeBron came out and he basically did a dig on Great Lakes, basically saying, you know, those are the same guys that came out with the beer when he left for Miami. Uh-oh. That they came out with a beer called Quitness.
Ooh. That's fair, then. You know what? That's fair. There's blood in the
but
game.
But you know what? He's the one who chose to go to Miami.
Don't care. There's blood in the
he
game.
He took his talents to South Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has a price.
So
there it is.
Says the million-dollar man.
Full circle.
So we're going to come back to our guest, Baff. And so let's we have this event on Sunday. What time are we going to open the doors?
1.
All right. So the first 58 people in get beer, right? Because that's your seating capacity, or are we putting a tent outside?
53.
Okay, because we have five.
If five of us are there.
Where is your location?
We are at 10 Mile in Jefferson in St. Clair Shores. We're right next to Pat O'Brien's.
Now, do they know the hell that you are leashing upon them this Saturday or this Sunday?
Oh, no, they have no idea.
So
that's how I like to play things, though.
So you're just going to just put 100 people right on Pat O'Brien's door?
Absolutely. Let's keep everybody on their toes, make sure everybody knows what's happening. You know,
Do they carry your beer?
They actually do, and it's a lot of funny because
It's a lot of funny.
You know what? Right. I was going to call myself out first. No, it's really funny because a lot of the time we run out of mango, but they actually have it on tap.
So you just tell everyone go next to
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Stop yelling at me. Go next to Pat O'Brien's. Have a shot. Drink our beer there. I'm still happy.
Grab some food. Come back for another drink.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you have them start putting real cheese on things again instead of that whiz? Could you put that request in for me? Are you at that level?
I don't think they use cheese.
Okay, I got nachos and it was cheese whiz nachos. Cheese whiz.
No. I personally love it.
No, not on nachos. You broil the cheese. You don't put cheese whiz on nachos. Right.
I'm not the cook. I don't think they do that.
I mean, you're their neighbor. Can you put in a word and say, hey?
Yeah, sure. I'll say stop using it. They'll come back to me and be like, that's too expensive. We don't use cheese whiz. Who's the off-brand?
Okay, well, can you tell me?
It's called cheese whiz.
And tomorrow they stop carrying your beer.
Hey,
No, honestly, we paired up with them. We started doing sliders with them. We're going to do sandwiches and sliders. They're actually amazing.
Do they deliver to you guys?
Yeah, they do. So
deliver,
what we do is,
come on, it's like five steps.
We have a point of sale system now in our bar.
Theirs?
Yeah, for
theirs.
That's
awesome.
We actually just ran an Ethernet cable over all the buildings.
Sure, that makes sense.
You know, why not? So we did it, and it goes right to them. Their kitchen gets it immediately. Their staff brings it right over. Different chit, super easy.
Wow.
And everybody gets all their food.
Wow, that's not a bad deal.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How does the coffee place feel about that?
They're fine with it.
They're always closed when you guys are open there, right?
Well, they're closed until, I think on the weekends they're open later. But they've actually been getting busier and busier and busier because they have really good coffees.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Are you guys on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace?
We're on all the Instagrams.
Instagrams?
And all the
Are you on Snapchats?
We are on Snapchats. We Snapchat every now.
Are you on MyFace?
No, we stopped live journaling a long time ago.
What about Dead Journal, though?
Oh, jeez. No, we're not vampires, so not Dead Journal.
Are you on Friendster?
We were on Grindr for a bit, but it got weird, so we got off of that.
Because the D wasn't so silent?
No, it was real hard. Wow. It was a hard D.
Wow. I'm not sure where to go with this right now.
Wow, something that shut up
Matt
Bush.
You're gonna come at me with stuff, I'm gonna come right back.
I don't. I've only had like a beer and a half today. I don't know what to say.
You want a margarita?
Like you'll usually, I'm just like throwing things. So you guys are closed on Mondays?
No, we used to be. We used to be closed on Mondays, but we're open now. We actually do vinyl Mondays or record Mondays. We bought a really nice record player. People always give us records. People bring in records to listen to, and we actually do records, which I used to be like a big, like, oh, that's a little hipstery, but it's actually pretty fun.
Honestly.
So it's really funny. A lot of people are like, oh, it sounds a lot better. Objectively, it's not, but what's really cool about it is on CDs and MP3s and all that, and I don't know, technologies, the voice is above everything else, where on records, everything's on the same level. So that's pretty cool. So you get to hear it at its
purest?
I don't want to use the word purist, but it's as if everybody was in one room playing the music. So it's pretty cool. And people bring in records, and it's a really big community event where we have a lot of locals that bring in records. Let's say they haven't listened to it since the 70s.
They have like original, they have original like Aerosmith or Rolling Stones. They bring it on in. It's a lot of fun.
Eminem.
Yeah, it's a 70s Eminem when he was like 4 years old. It was pretty cool. Shit,
when he was like minus four.
No, I think he was born in 73.
I was going to say, there's a lot of vinyl of current. Like, vinyl is like the thing to buy now. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've bought something like an MP3 or a CD on the internet. And it's like, oh, hey, do you want to buy the vinyl of
it? And then you can buy your $400 Beats headphones with it, too.
Yeah, no.
Shitty headphones.
Talk about someone who sold out.
These headphones are better than those things.
So do you guys ever do live music or anything like that?
They do great pub trivia over there.
We do great pub trivia. No, we would love to do live music. We just don't have the space for it. And our place is super echoey because it's all concrete, it's industrial, and it really echoes. So if we were to do it, it would be like one guy with a guitar.
That's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft Podcast. Thank you very much for coming. We will see you Sunday. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace out.